Hi and welcome to Tog Talk. My name is Kevin Aronson from Hampshire School of Photography. This is episode 7 of a 10-part series looking at photography basics, and today we are taking some time to look at exposure. In particular, we're going to look at those type of shots where you photograph someone and they come out dark. What causes that? Listen to this episode and I'll explain why it happens and give you a couple of really easy techniques to help you overcome it. I think I've already mentioned that there are certain problems that exist with new photographers that reoccur time and time again. One of them is my pictures are blurry or out of focus, and the other one is my pictures are too dark. And we're going to be addressing that today as we start to look at how you control your exposure, because it's one thing to understand the exposure triangle, but it's another thing to be able to control your shot and take control of the exposure completely, because there are some situations when the light just doesn't behave itself. It's just difficult to shoot in and it affects your picture. And this thing about my picture is too dark is very common. And I'm sure that many of you, if you've been shooting in auto for a while, you would have come across that from time to time. So I run a number of workshops where we look at this particular situation. And one of the images that I use to illustrate the point is where a friend of mine called Pam, African lady, she's sitting in an office with white walls and very bright windows. And I took a picture of her in aperture priority, and she's come out very, very dark, almost silhouetted. And then I showed a second photo where I made an adjustment on my camera and corrected for the camera's mistake and produced an image where she was properly exposed. So let's just get you to think about this shot. So you're photographing someone, they could be wearing very dark clothes, and you photograph them in a very bright room. What's going to happen is that the camera's going to look at all that light coming into the room and think, my goodness, that's a really bright picture. I need to reduce the brightness on this, otherwise it's going to be overexposed. So the really bright picture turns out to be less bright as a result, and whilst the walls may end up correctly exposed, or certainly not overexposed, anyone in that room is likely to end up a bit dark as the camera darkens the image down. Now, with that one in mind, just think of this scenario. Let's look at Pam's husband, Pete, also dark-skinned, and let's assume that you're taking a photograph of Pete wearing a dark shirt, a dark suit, dark tie. Okay, you get the picture. He's holding a black cat standing against a black wall in a coal cellar, and you take a picture of him. Does he come out black? No, he doesn't. He comes out grey. And the reason for that is that the camera is looking at all that darkness and thinking, my word, my goodness, what a dark picture. I need to brighten this picture up a little bit. So he overexposes the shot and Pete comes out grey. So in the first shot, Pam comes out darker than she would normally be, and actually the walls inside the office, which were white, are now grey. And Pete, he was super, super dark. He was wearing all the dark clothes, a dark cat and so on, but he's come out grey. What's going on? Well, what you have to understand, I guess, is how cameras are programmed to expose their shots. Now, the manufacturers program them so that the cameras, when they look at a shot and they see a bright scene or a dark scene, they're trying to avoid any really overly bright exposures, which might blow out the pixels. So the pixels are so bright, you can't recover any detail out of them. Or it doesn't want the blacks at the other end of the scale to be so black that you can't draw any information, any detail out of the shadows. So the black shouldn't be excessively black and the whites shouldn't be excessively white. And in fact, what it's trying to do is reproduce skin tones around about the halfway point between the black and the white. And that point between the black and the white, you would expect to be something like a 50% grey, for instance, which is halfway between the extremes of super black and super white. But the range of tones that range from white and black aren't linear. In other words, 50% isn't halfway. Actually, 18% is halfway. I know that's weird, just bear with me. So a camera is looking for 18% grey. 18% grey. That is, it's trying to ensure that the majority of the image is exposed within that 18% grey range, which is the halfway point between the black and the white. And so when it looks at a very bright subject, it will darken it down to get it down towards the 18%. When it sees a very dark subject, it tries to brighten it up to get towards that 18% grey. Interesting. Okay, so bear with me. Now, when you press the button on your camera, a couple of things happen. When you press it halfway down, not all the way to take the picture, when you squeeze it halfway down, usually a couple of things happen depending on how your camera's set up. But usually, the first thing that happens is it calculates the distance, so it focuses your lens. And then the second thing it does is to work out the exposure. If you're shooting an auto, it also makes a decision whether to pop up the pop-up flash if you've got one fitted on your camera. But we'll ignore that because you're no longer shooting an auto. You're real photographers now, okay? When you half press the button on your camera, it works out the focus and it works out the exposure. And what you want to do is ensure that the exposure it's working out is the one that you want, because the camera can't read your mind, you know? And I guess the classic scenario where you end up with a silhouette is, if, I don't know, maybe you're away on holiday and you're down by the beach and you've just popped onto one of the restaurants on the side of the beach and you're with your kids and they're sat by the window and they're eating their amazing whatever they're eating and they just look great and you think, I'll take a picture. So although they've got the window behind them, you don't think anything of it. Take the picture and what happens? They come out almost silhouetted because the bright window behind them is fooling the camera into thinking that you've got the right exposure, but you haven't. All you've got is the right exposure for what's going on outside the window. So if you've got a sea outside or sunbathers or some trees or whatever, that's probably going to come out pretty well exposed, but the kids are going to be really dark. And by squeezing the button halfway down, that's when the camera measures the light ready for when you push the button all the way down, when it actually takes the picture. So we're going to use that halfway down thing in a moment. So here we have a really very common scenario. You're on holiday and you're photographing the kids, got a bright background and they come out dark. I'll tell you where else it's common for the camera to be fooled. If you're photographing in the snow, so if you go skiing or you're in the winter time at home and it's beautiful, you're out photographing the kids having snowball fights. All that bright snow on the ground combined with the bright sky above, and the camera thinks, yeah, it's a bit too bright, I'll darken it down. So the snow no longer looks white, it actually looks a bit grey. Now, lots of cameras have little dials on the top where you can select different scenes. So if you're shooting in snow, you select the snow scene and it automatically overexposes the shot, knowing if it didn't, that the camera would make the snow look grey. But if you haven't got one of those dials or you don't want to use it, I'm going to explain how you get around this situation. So I hope you stay with me so far. At the moment, the camera is either underexposing people when they're against a bright background or overexposing people when they're against a dark background, especially if they're all wearing kind of dark clothes. All right, so say you want to take a picture of another camera, which tend to be black. So you say you've got a really nice camera, black. Oh, I know, you've got a cat. Oh, God, these are hard to photograph. Black cat or a black dog against some black curtains. That is just the worst job ever. But if you take that picture, they'll come out grey unless you make the adjustments. Let's just think about this now. So I'm going to give you two techniques, just two. There are a lot more, believe me, and there's some quite sophisticated techniques, but I want to try and keep it simple for you. So two techniques to beat the camera when it gets it wrong. Picture the scene. You're photographing the love of your life against a floor-to-ceiling window. So it could be a French window, French doors, you know, a doorway with glass top to bottom. Like, you could be photographing them in the entrance to a shopping mall with a glass doors. Why you would do that, I have no idea. But let's say you're standing against a bright background and you're indoors, and the light that's hitting their face is a lot duller than the light that's hitting the back of their head. So the back of their head, the back of their body is facing outdoors, and the front of their body and their face is indoors. Outside, the sun or whatever is hitting the back of their head, nice and bright indoors. The only light that's hitting their face, assuming that's the bit you want to correctly expose, is what's coming in from behind, bouncing around the room, bouncing off the floor and the ceiling and the walls and the furniture, and reflecting back into their face. It's a fraction of the brightness of the lights that's the other side of them. So what you're trying to do is to take an image using the light that's hitting their face. Now, if you point the camera at their face from where you're standing and take the picture, they will come out dark because you've got too much light coming in from behind them. It's going to affect your exposure. So what you need is something you could point the camera at which is not going to be affected by the bright light that's behind the person you're photographing. So you couldn't, for instance, point the camera at their waist or something like that, their chest, because the window is still behind them and there's still bright light coming in. But if you pointed the camera at their feet, the sun isn't behind their feet. Immediately behind their feet from where you're standing is the floor, because you're shooting downwards. So if you were to point the camera at their feet and half press the shutter button, it would lock the exposure and it would lock the focus on their feet. And if you maintain the pressure on that button and now lifted your camera up so it's pointing at their face, and without releasing any pressure on that button, you now took the shot, their face should come out correctly exposed, or near as damn it. Because what's happened, when you point the camera at their feet, first of all, there's no bright background behind the feet, unless they're standing on really bright white reflective marble. Okay, so there are some occasions where this doesn't work. If you've got a floor they're standing on, if they're standing on a mirrored floor, and the sun is bouncing off the mirrored floor and then back up to your camera, it's not going to work. But if it's just standing on, you know, with a carpet or some flooring, normal stuff which doesn't reflect light like a reflective surface, then you're okay. So you're pointing at their feet, you're getting a reading from their feet, so you're going to get a reading on roughly the same amount of light that's hitting their face. Don't forget, all the light in the room is bouncing around and it's hitting that person. And it's hitting, in theory, their face and their feet by the same quantity. So there's the same amount of light hitting their face as there is in their feet. So if you get a reading from the feet, you're getting the right kind of reading as it would be for their face. The floor does make a difference. I mean, for instance, if they're standing on a matte black carpet, the chances are it's not going to work because it's going to too heavily influence the light reading from the camera. And if they're standing on a bright, shiny, highly reflective surface, same applies. But in all other cases, this should work. So, just going to go over this again. You point your camera at their feet, press the button halfway down, which locks the focus and the exposure, lift the camera up, don't release the pressure on the trigger yet, and as soon as you recompose the shot and you've got the face in exactly where you want it, at that point, you press the button the rest of the way down to take the shot, and you should end up with a picture which works pretty well. All right, it's not a difficult, so you're basically using their feet as a replacement for their face. Now here's the thing, in most cases the feet are roughly the same distance from your camera as the face, so when you lock the focus on their feet and then you lift the camera up and take the shot, the focus should be okay on the face. But if you're shooting with a very narrow depth of field, their face actually may not come out tack sharp. If you're shooting with a very wide open aperture, which gives you a narrow depth of field, the depth of field could be so narrow that when you lift the camera up to shoot the whole body or the face, it may be that the focus isn't exactly the same for the face as the feet. There may be some difference, and the face may end up actually falling outside of the depth of field, and as a result, it's not as sharp. So if you're doing this sort of technique, you probably want to be shooting, you know, F4 or great F4, 5, 6, something like that. Always difficult when you're indoors, of course, because there's not much light around. So you have to kind of play around with it. You might get away with it at 2.8. It really depends on your height, their height, distance, and so on and so forth, and also what focal length you're using. The thing is to try it and see what happens. Always experiment and see what happens. So people say to me, what settings should I use for so-and-so, so-and-so? Well, my answer is it depends, because it depends on you, how far away you are, what the light's like, what focal length, what aperture, and so on and so forth. It's always different from shot to shot. Okay, so that's technique number one, and that's face and feet and face, all right? Technique number two requires that you have a button on the back of your camera called AEL. That's what it's normally called. It may be called something else on your camera, but it's referring to the auto exposure lock, AEL. Some cameras like Nikon have a button which has got AEL and AFL, which stands for auto focus lock. It's a dual function button, and you can program it via the menu system to either lock the focus, lock the exposure, or do both. And if you program it to do both, it's doing just the same as your shutter button. So generally, most people don't do that. Through the menu system, they choose to either lock the focus with the button or lock the exposure through the button. Some manufacturers like Canon and Fuji, for instance, they have a button for each, which to me is a much better way of going. You've got a choice then. Do you want to lock the focus or do you want to lock the exposure? So with this particular technique, you need to find a way of getting close to that person with your lens and go right up to their face and fill the frame with their face. So they're standing against this window, as before, and you're walking up to them, and I tend to turn my camera through 90 degrees, so I'm shooting in a portrait mode because most faces are long rather than wide. So I'm lining up my camera with the length of their face, so the face fills the frame. The idea is what you're doing, you're going sufficiently close that you're not allowing any of the window that's behind them to get into the shot. It's a bit like in the old days we had light meters. You go up to their face, you hold the light meter in front of the face, press a button, and you've got an immediate readout of how much light is sitting in their face. And that's what you're trying to do. You're going to go up to them, and you're going to go sufficiently close that the only thing you can see in the viewfinder, or you can use the back screen in live view, you're going right up close so that the face fills the frame. And now, you're not going to press the shutter button, you're going to press this AEL button, or whatever it's called on your camera, the exposure lock button. And by pressing that, you're locking the exposure for the face. It's a bit like using that light meter on the face, where you'd press the button and you'd get a reading, which would tell you how much light was falling on the face. What you're doing is you're getting a reading straight from the face. Now, again, depending on how your camera is set up, with some cameras you've got to hold that button for the whole time. With other cameras, you can press the button once and it locks the exposure until you press it again, and then it'll lose that exposure. I personally prefer to have to hold that button in so that when I let go, it's no longer remembering that exposure. That's because it's quite possible, if you choose the option where you press the button and it leaves the exposure locked, you could potentially forget you've done that and then go and take a whole series of images with the exposure locked to that particular settings, and they're all going to come out wrong. So I tend not to use that setting. I like to hold my thumb on the button, knowing that when I let go, it's going to go back to normal. So this is what you do. You go up to the face, fill the frame with the face, press the button in, keep your finger on the button, stand back. And now with your finger on that button, you can take lots of shots from different angles, different focal lengths, different directions, distances, the whole lot, providing you keep your finger on the button, and each shot will be exposed the same. It's a really simple solution. Now, if you're shooting somebody with something like a standard 50mm lens, then you would probably, this is on a full frame camera, you'd probably have to get quite close to fill the frame. If you're shooting with a telephoto, it's much better. You don't have to get so close, which is not a bad idea, because if you do get close, it can be a bit intimidating when someone comes right in your face with a camera to try and get a reading off your face. So if you're shooting with a telephoto, you don't have to get as close. It's much less intimidating for the person you're photographing. So, going to go back over this one more time. Right, turn the camera through 90 degrees into the portrait mode. Walk up to that person so that their face fills the frame. Press the AEL button and hold it pressed. Step back and now take as many shots as you want of that person. You can change the focus, change the zoom, you can change the angle, you can vary the shot as much as you like. Providing your finger is on that button, the exposure is locked to the face. And then when you finish, you just let go of the button. There you go. Two techniques. So you've got feet and face and the AEL button, exposure lock button. Now, there are lots, believe me, there are lots of ways of solving this problem. I've only really touched the surface with these two. But these two will serve you extremely well if you want to learn more. Well, then I guess you need to go on one of our workshops. Okay, I'm sure at some point we'll talk about other methods, but it goes without saying that the best way to learn is always going to be in a classroom, face-to-face, with other students, with the teacher. We can ask questions. There is only so much you can do with a podcast or even with a video. So, there we go. If you've got any questions, stick them down below as per normal, or you can email them to me at support@gohsp.com. Talk Talk is sponsored by the Hampshire School of Photography. We have a training centre in Hampshire, which is in southern England, and you're welcome to visit our website, which is gohsp.com, and look at all the different workshops we run there for photography, from single one-day courses through to one-year courses, masterclasses, inner circles, private mentoring, and so on. And of course, there are courses on Photoshop and Lightroom. My name is Kevin Aronson. I'm a professional photographer and I've been behind the camera now for about 52, 53 years. I run an online blog called The Photography Teacher, which contains tips, techniques and video tutorials to help you with your photography and editing skills. So when you combine the training center, the blog and this podcast, I'm hoping there's enough material out there to help you grow your photography to where you want it to be. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Talk Talk. I look forward to you joining me again at the next one.